1 through 8. I charge ye therefore, we'll read responsibly, by the way. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. And reading verse 7 again, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us to keep our eyes and focus on you today. Oh, if there be someone today who will be through the sound of the preaching, hear the gospel. And Lord, they don't know you as their personal Savior, that today they may leave here knowing you, knowing that they have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We pray that you be with our preacher. We pray, Lord, that you help him this morning as he brings forth the word of life to us. And that Heavenly Father, we receive our portion of the word of God. And are able, Lord, to endure the teaching. And are able, Lord, to endure and keep on going and doing what God has called us to do. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to read through our text again, our 8 verses again, and just kind of walk through it a moment. Just want you to picture with me, here's the old preacher, the Apostle Paul. And he's instructing a young preacher, Timothy. Going to kind of walk through that, this portion, if you will, in just a couple minutes, but I'm going to read through it a little bit. I want you to read it as your preacher talking to you. Of course, the Bible is very personal. It can be, ought to be. I hope that when you read the Word of God that you take it personally. And as I read this, it's one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and it seems like every time I read this portion, I just find another thought. And, of course, that's how the whole Bible is. But I'm just going to read through the first 8 verses again. And then we'll just kind of, you know, I hope that you just follow me. And I hope that you'll capture your heart a little bit here as I preach on the subject, finish the course. It'll be a very simple message this morning. Not going to be anything real deep. But I trust and I pray that it'll be a help to you. I charge thee, verse 1, therefore, now here's Paul talking. To a young man, Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after that their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Of course, here is an old man teaching, if you will, a young man. A preacher, you could also say a preacher teaching a young preacher, as this young preacher is going out into the world as a preacher. Of course, he's been ministering, Timothy's been ministering, and he's influencing people, he's reaching people and so forth. And, you know, when you look at these verses, you see that nothing's really ever changed. You know, even back in the Apostle Paul's day, you know, he was saying, Timothy, there's going to be a time they're not going to listen to you. There's going to be a time they're not going to pay attention to you. There's going to be a time they're going to have itching ears. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. And it's much like it is today. You know, it's the same thing, kind of the same old, though I think it might be many, many steps above that today. But the truth of the matter is, you know, back in this day, back in the old time, if you will, back in the old time way, back in Paul's day, they had this very, very similar problems that we have today with people not listening. But, you know, he was telling Paul to finish, or Timothy to finish the course. I've been kind of thinking, by way of introduction here, my introduction may be a little bit longer than the message itself, so try to get through it here. I've been thinking a lot about the new year, how excited I am. I'm very excited about the new year. And the course that our church ought to be taking, and as your pastor, I trust that you're on the course that God wants you to be on, and so forth. I want to challenge all of you to jump in this year. This year, we're going to have a banner put up here along the way, but this year is going to be the theme of the year of the harp, 2009, the year of the harvest. And we want to reach people, be busy reaching people, our neighbors, and different things this year. But that's the course I know our church needs to be on. But I hope, if anything today, that you find yourself on course this year. You know, be faithful in church attendance. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your Sunday school, and faithful in each other's marriage, in your marriage, if you will. Faithful to your ministry. Be faithful to telling others about Jesus. Be faithful on your job. There's so many areas that it's in that course of life that God wants you to be faithful to and stay on track, if you will. To get to my message, I was thinking about this year, the direction of our church. I'm very encouraged about where we've come from and where we're going. And as pastor, my greatest desire, however, is for our church people. That's you. My greatest desire is for you to do well. Yeah, I want nothing more. You're sitting here this morning. I want nothing more than for you to do well in your life. I want nothing more than you to be on course with God and be where God wants you to be and have the blessings that overflow from God and the windows of heaven, as the Bible says, pouring out a blessing. I want nothing more than for you to do well this year. I want nothing more than for you to go ahead and excel, if you will, in your Christian life and grow in your Christian life. I want nothing more as your preacher. I want nothing more than that for you. As your pastor, that's my greatest desire. I want to run a course. I want you to run the course that God has for you. Your course will not be the same as mine, and mine is not going to be the same as yours. You know, people say, well, mine started out a little bit rough. My life, if you will, started out a little bit rough. I've got some baggage, if you will. I've got a past, if you will. Okay, yeah, maybe you do have a past, but you don't have to go ahead and finish out as rough as you started. You know, that's all under the blood. If you're saved this morning, that's under the blood. Confess it and move on and get on with the course of your life. Too many Christians, I'm afraid, they feel like they can't be used of God. They determine how much they can be used of God by their past. Hey, you know what? If you've confessed, if you're saved this morning and you've confessed it, hey, it's under the blood. And you know what? God says it's as far as east is from west. It's in the depths of the sea. God's forgotten about it. You know what? Generally, we just got to move on and forget about it ourselves. Too many Christians, if you will, they use the excuse, if you will, that I cannot be used in this area. I can't be used here or here simply because of a past. Hey, you know what? We got to learn to get past the past. Put it under the blood. But your course won't be as mine, and mine will not be as yours. Each of our courses or races will be faced with trial, along with joy. You will face struggle along with simplicity. And unfortunately, I hope not, but you know, life is so uncertain. Unfortunately, all of us along the way in our own little world, we may face death this year. I hope it doesn't happen to you personally. I hope it doesn't happen in your family, but that is the course of nature. But irregardless of whatever happens, regardless of the hard times and the easy times, we must remember to run the race well each and every day. When one will do as the Apostle Paul chose to do, that is running the race. You know, the moment he got saved, boy, let me tell you something, he was a changed man. He immediately got preaching. He immediately ran his course, if you will. Right after he got saved, he went into Damascus there, and Ananias taught him and different things, and he was taught by some disciples. And immediately he went off preaching the gospel. He got baptized, and he went off preaching the gospel. And when we go ahead and choose to do and run the course like Paul did, not necessarily preaching the gospel, yeah, we ought to be preachers as far as soul winners, but we ought to be on the course that God has for us. That is running the race that we have. We ought to decide to do what Paul did, and when we do that, it will lead to a spiritually rich life. You'll be amazed how God will bless you if you choose the course that he has for you, which will lead you to say one day with Paul, if you stay on that course, if you stay true to the Lord, if you decide I'm going to go ahead and serve God no matter what, even when you're down in the valleys, even when you're up on the mountaintops, you stay true on that course. You won't waver. You won't go ahead and get sidetracked. You won't get distracted. If you go ahead and you follow the course that God has for you, you follow the course that God has for your family, it will lead to a spiritually rich life. It'll cause you to say these wonderful words, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. You know, notice he did not say, I had an easy life. He didn't say that. A life with no heartaches, a life with no struggle. No, no, no. He says, I had to fight. I had fought a good fight in this life. I had to fight in this life of mine. But it was a good fight. A fight that's worth fighting. Let me just say this. In this day that he's describing to Timothy, and in our modern day where people are having itching ears, where people are turning away from truth. I mean, it's all around us. It just may as well face it. There are people that don't want to listen. There are people that don't even care about the things of God. There are people that don't want to listen to the Word of God. There are people that don't even want to hear the Spirit of God. But in a day like this, listen to me, in a day like this, Jesus is worth fighting for. You know, even with all the peer pressure teenagers that you may have because you want to go to school with your Bible in your hand, God bless you. God bless you for that. I thank God. I like hearing these teenagers that, hey, I want to stand for right, and I want to stand for truth, and I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I'm not ashamed to profess His name in the public school. I thank God. You know what? Let me just say, you just keep on fighting for the Savior, even in a day where you may go to work, mama and daddy, you may go to work, and people may mock you because you read your Bible on break time. People may make fun of you because you're staying and the way you dress and how you act and different things. You have a spirit about you that's a spirit of the Lord. You're saved. Even in today. Hey, you know what? Jesus is worth fighting for. Don't you succumb to temptation. Don't you say, well, I'm going to do this. I don't think I can stand the fight anymore. Hey, you know, I'm charging you. I'm pleading with you this morning. You stay on course. You stay on course. Even when they do mock, even when they do make fun of you, even when they do go ahead and chastise you because you're doing right. Hey, you just go ahead and you stay on course this morning. He says, I had to fight in this life, but it was a fight worth fighting. I had to go through pain and rejection. Oh, you just read the story of Paul and all that he went through, being stoned and being cast out and being laughed and mocked at. But in so doing, I finished my course, he said, and I kept the faith. Paul never wavered once he got saved. He kept serving Christ no matter what it took. And, you know, and like I said, you know, we ought to take this Bible personally. You ought to let it speak to you. You know, I'm thinking for 10 years I worked under a great man of God as an assistant pastor. A great position, by the way. I loved being an assistant pastor under this man. And as I read this scripture, you know, it's almost like everything that Paul is telling a young Timothy, it's almost like not the very same words, but all the same truth and principle was taught by an older preacher to a younger preacher preparing me for a bigger work or a better work or the work that God had for me. And this morning, I do the same with you. Though you're not a preacher, I understand that. Though you're not going to go off and perhaps pastor church and different things, but I do the same with you. I'm giving you my heart this morning. As an older preacher, as your man of God, if you will, going ahead and charging you, and I'm pleading with you this morning, stay on course. Just as Paul did Timothy. I think, you know, of course, Paul was in the prison cell here when he was writing these words of instruction. I can't help but think, you know, Paul, he never wavered course, but I can't help but think that as he was writing these words, And maybe he had some concern for Timothy. You know, he was, I hear, if you will, as I read these, the sense of urgency as he writes these words to Timothy. As I read it, you know, maybe I'm taking it really personal, but, you know, I take it personally that I kind of hear the sense of urgency. Hey, Timothy, let me tell you something. We need you on the battlefront. Timothy, I don't want you to waver. I think maybe as he was writing these, that I don't know, and please give me a little bit of liberty, but maybe he was choked up a little bit because he knows I'm in prison here. I'm about to die, but Timothy, we need you on the battle. We need you out there. Hey, Timothy, I want you to understand something. You need to run your course. Yeah, you may be laughed at. You may be mocked at, but I want you to understand you need to stay on track, Timothy. You keep preaching the word. You stay instant in season, out of season. You reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come, they're not going to listen to you. The time's going to come that you're going to have to endure affliction. But Timothy, I think there was a sense of urgency there. And this morning, I had that same sense of urgency for you. I plead with you. We need you on the battlefront this morning, church member. We need you on the battlefront this morning, visitor. Hey, teenager, we need you on the battlefront. We need you to sit up. We need you to hang on every word of the Word of God. We need you to get under the preaching of the Word of God. We need you, young people. We need your mom and daddy to get into the Word of God and absorb truth and pass the truth along to the next generation. Oh, how we need it. Of course, an aged Paul nearing the end of his life, writing these words of instruction. As a matter of fact, it seems as you read this portion of Scripture that this old body of his is ready to run his final lap. The aged preacher was writing to whom he would call his son in the ministry, Timothy, as a young preacher. I can see Paul instructing a young Timothy like a dad would his own son. Paul is telling Timothy that my ministry is about done. It will not be long before I enter the portals of heaven and being with my Savior whom I've served for these many years. Now, Timothy, you're early in your ministry. I desire you to do the same. I want you to do the same. I want to warn you of some things, however. I want to warn you of some things that you're going to see in the course of this ministry. I want to warn you, church, that some things that you're going to see in the course of your Christian life. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to endure, church. I want to warn you some things here, Timothy. As a matter of fact, there's some things that you're going to see and experience that's going to probably put you to the end of your rope. It's probably going to bring you to a point of you wanting to quit. But Timothy, don't. Don't quit, Timothy. But I say what I am about to write to you because I want you to keep the faith regardless of what happens. Timothy, let me remind you that I didn't start well in life. Hey, Timothy, if you remember, you've worked with me, Timothy. You've seen me travel. You've heard me preach. Hey, Timothy, you remember, you know my testimony. I was a persecutor of Christians. I was a murderer. I hated God. I was an ultra-religious man who was doing it my way. And let me tell you something, but Timothy, the old Damascus Road changed my life. Timothy, the old Damascus Road changed my life. Hey, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question there, church. Have you had your Damascus Road? Do you know of a time when you remember asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you and forgive you of your sins, and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Hey, let me tell you something. That was a changing point for the Apostle Paul, and he's telling Timothy here, you know, I didn't start well. I didn't go ahead and do well at the very beginning, but let me tell you something, bless God, I plan to finish well. I plan on running this course with all faithfulness. I plan on being attending church faithfully. I plan on soul winning and telling people about Jesus. I plan on reading more Bible. I plan on praying more. I plan on raising my kids up for the Lord. I plan on being a part of the ministry. Hey, Timothy, that's what I'm going to do. I may not have started well, but bless God, I'm going to finish my course well. Timothy, I didn't start well. I hated Christ. I persecuted Christ, God's people. I wish I could change all that. We all wish we could change something, couldn't we? We all look back in our life and say, I wish I could change this or this or this. All of us, I guarantee you here this morning, we all wish we could change something in the past. But Timothy, I decided that when I met Jesus on that old Damascus Road, I'd never turn back. I never turned back to my old ways. It was that time that I decided that I'd go fully forward. Full bore for Jesus Christ and for his cause. And Timothy, I want you to do the same. Church, I want you to do the same. I want you more than anything, as I mentioned earlier, I want you to do well.
I want you to have a stronger influence for Christ, if you will. I want your families to do well. I want you personally to do well. I want God's blessing to come upon you. I want God to do something in the lives of your teenagers. I want something to. I want God to do something in the lives of your kids. I want something. I want God to do something in the lives of you deaf. I want something. I want God to do something in the lives of the bus kids and the bus ministry. I want God to do something in the Sunday school teachers' lives, in the Sunday schools, in the patch of pirate. Hey, you know, I want you to do well. I want your family to do well, church. I want you personally to do well. But to do well, you got to go ahead and stay on the course that God has for you. You see, Timothy, I didn't start well, but I decided from that day forward, I'd do all I could to populate the kingdom of heaven. I'd do all I could to go ahead and kick the old smutty-faced devil in the face and go ahead and preach the word of God without wavering. Timothy, it's not been an easy road. There'll be times you're going to want to quit. But I plead with you, old Timothy. And church, I plead with you, don't quit. I want you at the end of your life to say with me, as the Apostle Paul would be able to say, I want you to be able to say with me, as you may be instructing a younger preacher someday, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. But it will not come without a price. The price is not near as much as what Jesus gave, by the way. You see, Timothy, you see, church, my church people, Faith Baptist Church, you will be misunderstood, for taking a stand. People will mock you and laugh at you. People will not understand you and your lifestyle. People will turn from you. Even people you once thought you had their heart, they will turn from you. But not all of them, thank God. The faithful will stay with you. People will deny the truth that you preach. They will not like your standards. They won't like your standards of dress, your music, your King James Bible. They are not necessarily mocking you and denying you necessarily. What they are denying, they are ultimately denying Jesus Christ. They will turn away laughing at you, but ultimately they are laughing at Jesus. Ultimately, they are scorning Jesus. They may be critical to you, but the truth of the matter is you stand for the very Christ. You know what? Who they're laughing at, who they're critical to, who they're scorning is Jesus Christ. But nothing has changed there, Timothy. You see, Jesus has been mocked at and laughed at. You remember the cross? By the way, he does have the last word. You know, my Bible, the Word of God says, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, God through his inspiration, Timothy, had me write this, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In other words, Timothy, God will have the last word. Let them go ahead and laugh you to scorn. Let them go ahead and mock you. But let me tell you something. We've not been mocked near as much as Jesus. Jesus was laughed at before he went to the cross. The crowd yelled out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He had that cat of nine tails upon his brow there. He had the nails pierced in his hands and feet. They dropped him on that cross. They dropped him in that hole and he died for you. Hey, they mocked him on that cross. He shed every drop of his blood for you. Hey, Timothy, we don't have it that bad, but you know what? God has a last word. So, Timothy, let them deny. But God has a last word. In other words, Timothy, we win. You know, you may be laughed at this side of heaven, church. People may go ahead and mock you, but I plead with you this morning, you run the course that God has for you. You go ahead, you follow the Word of God. You get into the Word of God. You learn to love the Word of God. You follow the things of the Lord. Hey, stay on track. Hey, stay on course and keep on living for God. And yes, people will mock you. People might make fun of you. But I plead with you as your preacher, stay on track. Stay on track. Let me tell you something. We win, though. They may laugh now. The devil may have a heyday right now, and he's having a heyday. You know, the world's crowd may laugh at you because you go to church Sunday morning. The world's crowd may go ahead and laugh at you because you read your Bible at the workplace. Hey, teenager, the world may go ahead and laugh at you because you want to live right, dress right, and do right. But you know what? Hey, we win, teenager. We win, church. We win. Jesus one day is going to come back. He's going to go ahead and take those who've been saved. I hope you're part of that crowd. I hope you're one of them whom Jesus will go ahead and God's going to tell, son, it's time to go get our children. Go ahead and go get those that are redeemed. Go down and get those who've called upon me. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and they're going to enjoy heaven for eternity. And one of these days, Jesus will come back. So Timothy, let him talk, let him mock, let him deny. To some, it'll be too late when Jesus comes back. But to others, they're not a least bit worried because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. My friend, this morning, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you here this morning? You know for sure if for some reason you were to breathe your last breath, do you know for sure that you'd spend eternity in heaven? Do you know it? You know what a wonderful, and I mentioned the other night, what a wonderful gift it would be. The greatest Christmas gift you can receive is knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, have you received that gift this morning? Adult, child, teenager, do you know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Yes, Timothy. You know, some, it'll be too late. But others, they're not worried because they've been washed in the blood of Jesus. But when tough times come, I plead with you. I plead with you as the Bible says. And I'm preaching to you right now, church. I'm giving you my heart this morning using the words of the Apostle Paul. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Hey, church, endure afflictions. Do the work of evangelists and make full proof of thy ministry. Let me just say this. You know, you say, what is your ministry? What is my ministry? Your ministry is what God has given you to do now. Mama, them children. Daddy, them children that you have that God has given you to raise. Your ministry is that job. You go and you live for God on that job, and you be a shining light for God on that job. You say, well, that's not the ministry how I thought. No, but your ministry is what God has given you to do right now. Husband, your ministry is being a good husband to that wife that God gave you. Wife, your ministry is being a good wife to the husband that God gave you. Mama and daddy, parent, your ministry is to go ahead and raise them children in the admonition of the Lord. And you know what? And by the way, you keep yourself on track. You know, you're going to have a better chance keeping your kids on track. You know, ultimately, how you raise your kids and how excited you get about the things of God will determine, because they live under your roof, will determine how excited they get about the things of God. If they see you crack open your Bible from time to time and mean it, and they see you on a personal basis, and they run into a room, walk into a room, and there you are, you're reading the Bible. You know what? And they walk, oh, I'm sorry. You know what? They're going to walk away saying, you know what? The Word of God is important to my mama. The Word of God is important to my daddy. If they see you get up, mom and dad, on a Sunday morning, the first thing you get them all up, and you kind of get you're kind of their alarm clock, you know what I mean? You know, everybody get up, it's church time, it's church time, it's church time. You get them ready for church. They see you get excited and you be in your place into the house of God. You know, if they see you be ready, they see you get excited. Hey, we get to go to church this morning. Not I have to go to church. We get to go to church this morning. We get to hear the unsearchable riches of Christ being preached. We get to hear the Word of God taught. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. They see you get excited. Let me tell you something. They might just be very well excited when they grow up and they become a mom and daddy. By the way, we get excited. Moms, I'm talking to adults right now. If we would get excited about the things of God right now, you know what? We could save this nation. But you know, it's our lack of excitement for God. It's our lack of joy that's going ahead and killing this nation. If we as Christians, I'm talking about going back to the joy of your salvation again. You know, some it might do us all well this morning if we go back to that date of when you got saved, of when Jesus came into your heart. You remember the joy that you had at that time, but somewhere along the way, it's been zapped. Somewhere it's gone. I don't know where it's gone. You know where it's gone. No, you haven't lost your salvation. Don't you misunderstand me, because once you're saved, nobody can ever take that away. But the truth of the matter is, if we get excited about the Word of God again, if we get excited about God again, if we get excited about church again, you know what? Our kids would say, hey, you know what? I get to go to church because my mom and daddy's excited. But, well, I stubbed my toe last night, so, you know, I think we all need to stay home, have a group hug, and not go to church this morning. And some of it, listen to me, and some of it's the littlest things that'll keep us from being in the house of God. And the truth of the matter is what your children, they see your excitement, they see how excited you are. You know what? Your children will ultimately do what you do. If you're excited about anything other than church, you know what? They're going to be excited about that. If you get excited about the Word of God and church and the preaching and Sunday school teaching and all that, you know what? You might. And it's a good possibility. It's a strong possibility that because you're on track, you're going to produce a child that'll be on track as well. I'm talking about in the will of God. Finishing on the course of life that God would have them to be. Hey, you know, I want you to be able to say, the end of your life with the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Too many Christians today, as I alluded to a moment ago, we get tired of the will of God. And I know that sometimes a Christian life can be kind of a roller coaster ride. I understand that. I understand that we can be up one day and we be excited and everything's wonderful, but boy, the next day we could be down and it just kind of goes up and down. And somewhere along the way, God uses that roller coaster, so to speak, in your Christian life, or the devil rather, uses that roller coaster to go ahead and discourage you, to get you out of the Word of God, to get you out of church, to get you out of faithfulness. Sometimes that roller coaster, the things that you go through, you know, you're in the valley one day, then you're on the mountaintop, and you say, I'm just tired of this roller coaster, so I just think I'm going to go ahead and play it safe, so to speak. I'm going to step out for a while and let everybody else pass by. Hey, I plead with you this morning, Christian. Yes, you'll have the ups and downs. Yes, you'll have the struggles. But I plead with you as your preacher, stay on track. Finish your course. Too many Christian young people will not even enter the will of God simply because someone over them quit running the race. Boy, that's sad. I hope that I don't live a life that would discourage a young person from entering the will of God. You know, little eyes are watching. You know, you come to a church like this, we have a lot of young people, and I praise the Lord for that. You know, because that's the next generation. That's why we're going to reach out and try to... We want to get them captured with the things of God. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? There's so many little eyes watching around here. You know, they can tell whether you're interested in church. They can tell, you know, well, I came and fulfilled my duty. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here. But the truth of the matter is, you've got to be so careful when little eyes are watching. If they see your enthusiasm, you know what? That's going to breed what kind of enthusiasm they're going to have. Hey, we got to be very, very careful. Too many young people, I hope my life is not a life that would discourage a young person from going off and being what God would want them to be. I hope that they see the joy and the excitement and the thrill of serving the Lord. Too many new Christians fail today because some seasoned Christian veteran, if you will, has disappointed them and they no longer serve the Lord. I'm talking about Christians that they've been in the ministry and they've been there, done that, so to speak. You know, you've heard the term, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, amen? You know how it is. And, you know, I'm talking about the Christians that they grew in the Lord. They grew in the Lord, but somewhere they've arrived. Somewhere they got to a point where we've grown in the Lord. I've arrived in my Christian life. Hey, let me tell you something. Until the very day we die, we can still grow. We ought not ever get to a point in our Christian life where I've plateaued or I've arrived. That is a very dangerous place. And the moment that we start getting to that point, the moment, let me tell you something, you mark my words, and I've seen this happen, the moment we get to a point where we've arrived is a moment that we're going to take a downward turn. I've seen it over and over. I know it all. I've seen it all. I've been there, done that. You know what? I can just sit back and take it easy. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. There's a battle out there today. There's a war going on for right today, and the old devil's having a heyday today, and what we need today is people, is Christians, that'll get on track and stay on the battlefront and fight for the Lord and not turn back. I think of the armor. Turn to Ephesians. Read a few verses here. Kind of an afterthought here, but let me just, finally, my brethren, verse number 10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Talk about a war here. Put on the whole armor of God. So what's the armor of God? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, okay, here's the command. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In other words, you know, the Apostle Paul here writes, says, you know what, we're in a battle, we are in a fight, we need to put on the whole armor of God, and we need to go ahead and be prepared for the evil day. It may not be right now. I mean, you may not be having a battle right now. The old devil may not be necessarily on your doorstep right now, just hounding you and so forth. But let me tell you something. You need to take up the armor of God, and you need to have that armor on and be prepared. Because let me tell you something. The old devil, he's waiting. He's waiting. He's right there. And if he sees you loosen up that armor one little bit, one little iota, if he sees one little crevice, let me tell you something. He'll be after. He'll have that fiery dart that he has, as we'll read in a moment. He'll have that fiery dart. He's going to look for that little crevice, and he'll look for any opening. And by the way, that opening comes when we become a little bit lackadaisical. We got to be very careful. You know what? Every single day, you need to be garbed with the armor of God. Every single day, you need to get up, and you need to walk with God, and you need to make sure you keep the armor on, because let me tell you something, the devil come at you at all different sides. Hey, you know, the Bible also says, so what's the armor? Stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, doing right, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Hey, you know what? Don't leave your shield at home. You keep that shield of faith so that when the old devil shoots them fiery darts, you're going to be able to go ahead and quench them. You're going to be able to go ahead and keep them from destroying you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And let me just say this. I thank God. You know what? We need to live in the sword of the Spirit. We need to keep the sword of the Spirit with us. I thank God that we have the preserved Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God right here in the King James Bible. I thank God for it. Well, we ought to stay in it. We ought to stay in the Word of God. And let me tell you something. Let me just say something about this armor. All the armor there is a covering for the front. It's a covering for the front. It says nothing about covering the back. Which tells me, and I have this, it's not the red one. Well, this one's low? Okay, forget it. Don't worry about it. Which tells me that, yes, we as Christians, we are to be warriors. We're to be fighting. I mean, fighting against the devil. The Bible says, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. You know, there's a fight that needs to be won here. There's a fight out there. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And the truth of the matter is, yeah, the old devil has his forces, but we need some people that line up on the battlefront and be on the forces, and we need to be going, plowing forward for the things of God, not turning back. That's why the garb, the armor, if you will, it covers the front, meaning we're not supposed to retreat. We're not supposed to turn our back on God. We're not supposed to turn our back in the heat of the battle. And that's where the casualties come today. That's where people get off course in their Christian life. That's where people get off track in their Christian life. Because they have the garb, if you will, but the battle and all the spears are coming and all the shooting coming and the mocking coming and the criticism coming, and it's coming at all different sides. And the truth of the matter is we kind of cower, we kind of get tired, but you know what? You keep the garb, the armor on, it's going to bounce off. God's going to go ahead and take care of it. If you stay in the truth, if you keep the armor all latched on the front of you and not retreat. But why do we have the casualties in the Christian life? Because we turn back and say, I've had enough. I've had enough. And listen, I've seen way too many good Christian people. I'm talking about in the last few years. It tells me of the times that we're living in, by the way. But I've seen way too many good Christian people. They know everything that I'm talking about right now. They had the armor on, but they got a little bit lackadaisical. And somewhere along the way, they decided, I've arrived, I've had enough, or I've seen people just tired of the roller coaster, I just can't take it anymore. And in the heat of the battle, they turn around, and because we're not covered with that garb on the back, it's an armor for the front telling us, go forward for Christ. But we're not covered back here. That's when the casualties come. And that's when people quit. Simply because the heat of the battle got too strong. And they got off course. My friend, this morning, we need you in the battle. We need you in the battle. Timothy, the young preacher, this is written to him from an old preacher, the Apostle Paul. And he's saying, Timothy, ultimately he's saying, I need you to stick with it. I need you to stick with it. I need you to go ahead, Timothy. You see, in just a little while, Timothy, I'm going to be done. My ministry will be done. You see, the Bible says here, and he writes, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, it's not going to be very long. In just a little while, I'm going to go ahead and pass away. My ministry is done, but Timothy, you know, you've worked with me. I've tried to teach you, and I've tried to train you, and I've tried to give you the equipment, and you've read Ephesians. You know that you got to be garbed with the armor, and you've read the Word of God, and I'm charging you, Timothy. Let me tell you something. People are going to go ahead and make fun of you. People are going to mock at you, but it's not a time to quit, Timothy. It's not a time to turn your back on God. Hey, let me tell you something. All the mockings that you may face, all the scourging that you may face is nothing compared to what our Savior went through. Timothy, preach your word. Be instant in season and out of season. Endure afflictions. Keep on going. In church, this morning, I'm asking you to do the same. This year is coming. I'm talking about a new year. 08, just a couple days will be over. Yeah, you've got your goals set. You've got maybe your resolutions set. I've set many of them. I'm not going to tell you whether I've ever made them happen or not, you know. But you know what? We've got a new year. I always like the new year because it's kind of a new beginning to some degree. Kind of a start over. It's kind of like a reset button, so to speak. And as your pastor, more than anything in this world, I desire God's blessing on you. And the best way that you can have the blessing of God, church, is just stay on course. Stay on course. Stay on track. You know, maybe you've not had the opportunity to get well acquainted with the Bible. This year, I plead with you, if you never have, one good way to stay on course is get in the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, you ought to get in the Word of God and absorb the truth of God. You know, if you go ahead and you absorb the truth of God as a Christian, as any Christian, whether you're a baby Christian or a mature Christian, you know, the surest way to go ahead and resist the devil is you soaking in the principles of God. He therefore giving you what you need to fight the devil. But it's only going to come from here. If you get under the preaching of the Word of God, you get yourself in a Sunday school class. I'm telling you, all these things will keep you on track, by the way. Get in, you know, one good reason why I think preaching is so very important. I think the teaching on in a Sunday school class is so very important. But you know, one of the things that helped me stay on course is the fellowship of people that are going the same direction. That's the church. I love the church for the preaching and for all of that. I love it. But you know, another reason why I love it is because I can get the right kind of fellowship. I can get the fellowship of believers, of fellow Christians, and we're all going the same direction. Hey, Christian, maybe today you kind of veered off course a little bit. Teenager, maybe you kind of veered off course a little bit. Maybe you've not picked up your Bible, Christian, or even a Christian teenager. You've not picked up your Bible in a long time and read it. If that's the case, how is it that you're going to be able to stay on the course that God has for you? I wonder if there's someone here. You say, well, preacher, I don't even know how to get on course. I don't even know how to get on course. I don't even know for sure that if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. Hey, you know, I plead with you this morning, the greatest course that you could run is God's course. And the only way that you can go ahead and get to heaven is through the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, my friend, maybe here today, you say, preacher, I don't know how to get on that kind of course that you're talking about. Yeah, I like to go ahead and fight a good fight for Jesus. I like to go ahead and finish my course. I like to keep the faith, but I don't even have the faith. I don't even know for sure if I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, I plead with you this morning. I plead with you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I plead with you this morning. You come forward after a little while, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can know 100% sure you're on your way to heaven. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, this is how you can know to go to heaven. Romans 3:23, you got to first of all understand you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. That means every single one of us. The only way that I can get to heaven is only through the cross of Jesus Christ and only what he did on Calvary. But in order for me to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, I have to realize, first of all, that I'm a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None, that means me. There's none of us righteous. Number two, there's a price on sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That word wage is payment. And that word death there in the Bible is not talking about a physical death. It's talking about a spiritual death, a separation from God forever in a place called hell. The Bible says, the Bible teaches that hell was only created for the devil and his angels. It's not created for you. But if we choose to reject Christ while we're breathing here on this side of heaven, we choose to go ahead and reject Christ. That the Bible teaches that hell be our eternal destiny. But the good news is this, my friend. Jesus, he paid that price. Jesus, in all the love, you know, he set his face like a flint. You know, he had a goal. He set his face like a flint. He was not going to go ahead and get sidetracked. He was born an unusual birth there in Bethlehem. We know the story. We talked about it all week last week. But the truth of the matter is, why did he come? So that he could save the people from their sins. It was the people, you and me. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, you know what? We're born in sin. We deserve hell, but Jesus, he was willing to take all the beatings I talked about, the cat of nine tails, and he died on the cross. The gift of God is eternal life. God wants to give you that gift of eternal life. You got to understand you're a sinner, though. Realize that you're lost and on your way to hell. But number two, there's a price on sin in Jesus. But God commendeth his love. Romans 5:8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Not a religion. Not a person. Not a preacher, if you will. But only Jesus, who lived a sinless life. He came. He died on a cross. He was buried. And he rose again. You say, well, preacher, I don't know about this course. You know what? You can know about this course that God has for you, but it starts at the cross. To get on course and on track with where God wants you to be, it starts with you getting saved and knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. And when you realize you're a sinner, there's a price on sin and that Jesus paid it, all you have to do is open your heart and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Come to my heart, save me and forgive me of my sin. And he promises in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, oh, I love that, whosoever, that's anybody, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise given by God. Hey, if you're unsaved this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I plead with you. You got to go through the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, and the Father's in heaven. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So preacher, I want to be on this course. It starts at the cross. It starts at the cross. And Christian, this morning, maybe you're here. Maybe you're here and you know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. And boy, you've been faithful. You've been in your place in church. But let me ask you a question. You feel yourself getting off course a little bit? Like something kind of, some critical ear pulling you off? Kind of feeling yourself getting off course a little bit? I plead with you as a preacher, as your preacher, with all my heart, with all the love that I can give you, because I love you, get back on course. And Christian, you're on track this morning. Maybe you hear you, preacher, I know I'm on track. I know I am. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. The best I know how I'm on track. I encourage you, stick with it. Stick with it. Because we need you on the battlefront. Christian, that's kind of going back and forth a little bit. Get that armor tightened up. Get it tightened up. Secure it. Get on the battlefront. And yeah, they may laugh, they may scourge, they may shoot at you. But you keep on fighting for Jesus because it's a fight worth fighting. You see, Paul was writing to a Timothy, an aged preacher instructing a younger preacher, his son in the ministry. And he's warning him, as I am warning my church this morning, that you're going to be made fun of this year. Timothy, you're going to be made fun of in your ministry. You'll be mocked at. People are going to turn from you. People will go ahead and tell jokes about you. But Timothy, church, preach a word. Be instant in season, out of season. And you keep on going forward. And church, I ask you this morning, you go forward. Christian, go forward. Take a stand for Jesus this year. Maybe you got to reset it this year. Last few months, it's just, you got to reset that and say, I'm going to take a stand without wavering. Because Jesus is worth fighting for. His name, which is above every name, is worth fighting for. And yeah, I just love the facts. Yeah, the world will laugh. The world will mock. They'll have their time. And we need to do everything we can to reach them. We need to do everything we can to reach them. But you know what? At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, Jesus does have the last word. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, he's on the throne this morning. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. You know what? The stock market may crash. God's still in control. May go fight Iran. I don't know. We've got these other wars. You know, but that, whatever, God's still in control. You know, maybe personal issues going on. You know what? Let me tell you something. God is still in control. But my friend, finish your course. Finish your course. I can't stress it enough. If you have an influence over children, they need you to finish the course. They need you to stay faithful and finish the course. Hey, Timothy, I need you. Just a little while, I'm going to enter the portals of heaven. Timothy, that church that you pastor, them people that you're going to influence, them people that you're going to preach to, they need you to go ahead and stick with the Bible. They need you to stick with the right kind of music. They need you to go ahead and stay faithful and stay true and preach the word and finish your course. And unsaved one, unsaved friend, if you're not on that course this morning, why don't you make today the day that you get on board, that you get in the will of God. That's where it starts. The will of God, that course, if you will, the race that God wants you to run, it starts right there at salvation.
you come to know Jesus as personal Savior, our Heavenly Father. I sure do love you. God, as the preacher here at Faith Baptist Church, you know my heart, God. You know my heart. I want nothing more than the people that are sitting here in this room this morning to go ahead and make it and just do well. And God, your word is so clear that for us to do well, we got to stay on track. We got to stay on course. We got to keep you number one in our lives. We've got to stay in the Word of God. We've got to pray. We've got to walk with you. We're going to reach our children for Christ. We've got to go ahead and be enthusiastic about your Word and the things of God. Because it just proves how excited we get will be the excitement that they have, if not a little bit less. I pray, dear God, whatever needs to be done this morning, that you do it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe here today. Hey, preacher, I know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. But this message was for me. God spoke to me this morning. I will not call you by name. I will not embarrass you in any way. I just want to pray for you, and I will not pray for you by name. I just want to pray for you. Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. This is me. That's my hand. Here's my hand. I'd say anybody else. God spoke to my heart this morning. I'm admitting it. You know, I need to stay on course. I'd say anybody else. You may put your hands down. Maybe you're here this morning. You're not on that course simply because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And that's where it starts. You're here this morning, you say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I was to die today, I'd go to heaven. And I want to know before I leave today, that's me. Would you raise your hand? I want to know. That's me. That's me. Okay. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We do thank you for today, God. We thank you for your love and your goodness to us. We thank you for your word. I pray, dear God, that all of us today will desire to get back on course or to stay on course or to get on it. Some that aren't on it. They need to get saved. I pray, Holy Spirit, whatever needs to be done this morning, you do it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to go ahead and play. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you need to make a decision. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you just need to come forward and just lay something on the altar. Whatever needs to be done, the music's going to play. Won't you move as the music plays? That's it. All to Jesus, I surrender. I'm going to get on course this morning. Today's the day. I'm going to reset that. I'm on course this morning. That's it. That's it. Don't know Jesus as your Savior. Today's it. Today's it. I'm going to get on course. That's it. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. God, I'm just going to give it to you. I'm just going to give it to you. Give you my life. That's it. Finish the course. Altar's still open. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you, and we thank you for today, God. And we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how powerful your word is, God. We thank you for the decisions that were made this morning. I pray, God, that we'll all decide and desire to stay on course, stay on track, not waver in our Bible reading and our Bible study and attendance and church and all kinds of different things in our families. I pray, God, that we'll stay on track, stay on course, follow your will. I pray, Father, you bless now. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely to church tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. May we just...